morning. Our text today begins in Mark chapter 7, verse 14. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?' Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of a man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.'" Let us pray. Righteous Heavenly Father, thank you for the great gifts that you have given us this morning. Thank you for preserving this word from your Son. We pray, Father, that you help us to discern its intent and its meaning for us. Help us, Father, not to judge wrongly as the Pharisees have done, but to judge rightly according to your measure. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, so we're already drawing over long, so I will keep my comments brief this morning. But I want to start by saying that the providence of the Lord God wins again, because Keith has already put us in mind of the subject of today's gospel, defilement. What is the nature of defilement? Last week, we saw this controversy begin with the Pharisees and the scribes, and they have accused Jesus' disciples of being defiled because they eat with unwashed hands. And Jesus has admonished them for elevating the traditions of men over and against the commandments of God. But he hadn't yet dealt with their specific objection, that not washing your hands before going to eat defiles you. He deals with it in today's gospel. "There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." So the short answer is that the Pharisees are just flat wrong about the nature of defilement. They have not learned the lesson that Moses was teaching, which is that cleanness and uncleanness are moral matters rather than ritual matters. They've completely misidentified defilement. They look at a thing that is not defiling and they wrongly say that's defilement. And then they look at something that is defiling and don't recognize it for what it is. It's a double error, which is why our Lord gives us two teachings in today's text. The first is that there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. No food is inherently unclean. Not food eaten with unwashed hands, not pork, not even meat sacrificed to idols, so long as you're not participating in the sacrificial meal itself, which we learn later on in the New Testament. Now, this was, of course, a difficult point for the early church. There were debates about diet, and God had to correct none other than the Apostle Peter himself on matters of clean and unclean, even after he had already heard this teaching. Right, he's here in this passage, listening to this, and he still doesn't get it, even after Pentecost. But the dietary debate, look, that debate was settled in the first century. We don't go around arguing about diet as a matter of defilement today in the church. So maybe this whole debate about clean and unclean doesn't sound all that timely to us today, since this particular matter has already been settled for centuries. But our Lord did not just say, no food can defile. He said, there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. And there are still things of that nature that sometimes some of us might consider to be defiling. Right? These are usually the sources of moral panics in the modern era, where we identify something that's outside and say, that's defiling, don't let it in. Let me ask you, for example, is a Christian who smokes tobacco acceptable before the Lord? Or what about a Christian who sports tattoos? Now, I'm not going to speak for anybody else's upbringing in the church. Maybe yours was different. But my upbringing in the churches of Christ led me to believe that God does not like people who smoke tobacco or who have tattoos. Now, regarding tattoos, there might be some discussion about whether or not the law of Moses still applies. It prohibits tattoos in one place. In the case of tobacco, though, we have to dig around deep. We got to reach, really get in there in 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17 with our arms in shoulder deep to try to produce a prohibition against it. And when we pull our arm out, it has the same effect as producing a rabbit out of a hat. Right? That rabbit didn't naturally get in that hat. There's some trickery involved in it. Now, there's a lot of good health reasons not to smoke. This is not the sermon where you go, preacher today said go smoke. That's not what the preacher is saying today. Don't misunderstand me. There are lots of good health reasons not to smoke. There are no biblical reasons not to smoke. We should not pretend, contrary to what the Lord teaches in today's gospel, that there actually is something outside a person that by going into him can defile him. Now, there are many other examples that we could look at. But for the sake of time today, we'll just consider that. So what does defile a person? This is the second of our Lord's teachings in the gospel this morning. Beginning in verse 20, he answers, what defiles a person? What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of a man, come evil thoughts. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Uncleanness, our unacceptability in the sight of God, is not something imposed on us by outside forces. Rather, it is something that comes from within us. Now, notice a lot of the things that's in this list that the Lord gives us, these are things that happen outside of us. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, lying, sensuality, blasphemy, or slander. These are all things that happen out in the real world, outside of our hearts. But they all have their origin in the human heart. Evil thoughts, the Lord calls them, or evil intentions, evil purposes. The Lord's teaching shows us that we need to be less wary about what's out there and more wary about what's in here. It's a great trick of the devil to distract us from what's really the danger. Right? The devil's a great magician. He tells you, look over here while he's doing something over here. This is why we are called to examine ourselves, as Keith just talked about as we were taking the Lord's Supper. Because we are the leaven in our own lumps, as it were. And that is the call this morning, is to stop making holiness into something external. Right? It's super easy. It's honestly, in some cases, even fun to invest yourself in moral panics. It divests you of any kind of responsibility apart from griping and condemning. Because the problem's out there. We love it when the problem's out there. But that is not what our Lord calls us to do. Holiness is a matter of your own heart. Repentance is a matter of changing your heart, changing your mind, so that you stop producing evil things, churning them out like a factory. We invite you this morning to make that change. Believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. Turn away from sin. Confess Jesus as Lord. Be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of your sins. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?